Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In the Midwest.
Yeah, it's Steinitz to Rob's point. Yeah, I do love that from the Show Me State. And Marshall Faulk joined JD and I when you guys were on vacation, and Marshall said, I modeled my game after Roger Craig.
I listened to that interview.
He said, I modeled my game after Roger Craig. So, yes, Roger Craig, I always thought should be in the Hall of Fame. You take away Roger Craig from the great 49er teams, I'm not sure if they're winning Super Bowls like that. It's just like with Ricky Waters, when he moved on to Philadelphia, the Niners weren't the same in the 90s. You need those type of tailbacks who could catch the ball and run between the tackles.
See, that's amazing. When I hear Roger Craig, I just felt like he was a product of the system. He was a badass. But he wasn't like O.J. Simpson or Franco Harris, to where you could, if there was no Montana Bonte, you could just give it to him and he would, you know, be a threat to take it to the house like Walter Payton. But the more I'm listening to these shows, man, a lot of people feel like R.C. should be in.
Here's that. I'll tell you what. What would you give me for this? Roger Craig and Christian McCaffrey. Same similar type of player.
I wouldn't say same type of player, because McCaffrey's
like
a little faster.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Roger Craig is better between the tackles, especially coming out of Nebraska. He's a lot more physical. But when you talk about them on the perimeter, being in a slot, being lined up out wide, catching the ball, yeah, they're very similar. And I think Roger Craig set the table for a lot of these guys, the Marshall Faulks of the world, the Brian Westbrooks of the world, the McCaffreys of the world. They are similar in that aspect, that they are a factor in the passing game, but the running style's a little bit different there between Roger Craig and Christian McCaffrey.
Let's go to Andrew in Menlo Park. Hey, Andrew.
Hey.
How you doing? Let's go.
Hey, this is Andrew. I just wanted to add about the running back situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the fullback situation. Basically, when Green Bay won the Super Bowl, there was someone named John Kuhn who brought them there.
Okay, yeah.
Kuhn. That's what they say, yeah.
That was nice. My generation that I've seen. People went insane over him in the stands, screaming Kuhn every single time the guy got the ball. The fullback's very, very, very much well be respected.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. I mean, my man Kuhn brought more energy than Andrew.
I know.
Give us that Kuhn.
Kuhn!
You got level
field.
You know what? I know somebody we can count on. Leroy in Oakland. What's up, Leroy? How you doing, man? Come on, Andrew. We love you, buddy. Thanks for listening.
Put me to sleep, Andrew. I love it.
Hey, Steiny.
Hey.
Hey, Guru. Hey. Always glad to be on with you guys, man. Love you guys. Hey, listen, I wanted to ask you a quick question, both, all three of you. If you could come up with a criteria for what a fullback would need to do to get into the Hall of Fame, because like you said, Steiny, there's never been one that got in. And I'm like, you can't look at how many times they run the ball, how many yards, because they don't get the ball. But if I had criteria, I'll start looking at stuff like how many holes did you open? Mm. You know, how many guys did you pancake? Stuff like that.
How many times did you
look at Lowe. Lowe should be in there, because Lowe put his head in there. I'm the inventor of the grilled cheese sandwich in Lowe's forehead. I called the beef line one day and said that, and the guys on the morning show took it and ran with it. But that's because he put his head in there, and that's because he always wanted to put a hat on guys. So I'm looking at that, and I'm going, this guy should be in, and they need to come up with some criteria for that. And the best fullback that I've ever seen, though, is Mike Allstott. You guys have a great day and a better weekend.
Thanks, Leroy. Appreciate the call.
What am I missing on Mike? I know he was a beast, Bonte.
Well, off the top of my head, I would have to say, if you look at Allstott's, well, I could be totally wrong. I would say Allstott had a rush for more yards than Lorenzo Neal.
Oh, no doubt.
And it's not even close, I would think. But, I mean, that's what it comes down to for me. Why would the blocking fullback, and I'm just calling a blocking fullback.
Because the NFL might be confused, Steiny.
I mean, the one thing you got to look at is how many, I think you look at how many thousand-yard rushers
number one.
A person blocked for, a fullback blocked for. I also think quarterback sacks may come into play a little bit with the fullback because they, you know, they got a lot of them, what's it called, the chop back block where they have to, they got to make sure somebody doesn't get to the quarterback. I'm sure Lowe was great at that.
Crack back block, yeah.
And I also think that, again, if you're putting offensive linemen in there,
right.
Well, then I believe that the fullback position also must be recognized.
No, you're right. And Leroy brought up the, you know, what's the criteria for fullbacks to get into the Hall of Fame? So I just jotted down some quick notes here, kind of following up what Leroy had
I
to
love
say.
It.
You got to block for 1,000-yard rushers, right?
Well, he's got that
block.
Check.
He's got that check marked. He's done that for a gazillion running backs. Pancake blocks. The first time I ever seen pancake blocks charted down was when Orlando Pace was at Ohio State going for the Heisman. Let's look at the pancake blocks. I'm sure O'Neal had one or two
I've
of those.
I've seen some on video.
And then how many short yardage first downs did a fullback get? Because, you know, fourth and inches or third and one where they give it to the fullback right up the gut. How many short yardage first downs did O'Neal convert? That could be probably part of the criteria.
Yeah, touchdowns, too, from the one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And LaDainian got a lot of those in his career.
And especially in this day and age now where they're grading offensive linemen and they're looking at every single play. I mean, that's the other thing about players from the past is they didn't have this kind of scrutiny. So there are great players who just weren't as chronicled as the guys who are playing now.
And the fullback position kind of went away a little bit. You know, Barry Sanders didn't have one, Steiny, and I think that hurt it too. The fact that, it kind of disappeared for a tad bit. The offenses were spreading out. Yep. It wasn't utilized like it once was. But I'm going to just say this, and I told you how I felt about Antonio Brown with the helmet. What we found out about the NFL, they knew something about head trauma. And you're telling me a position like the old lineman you cite, there was nothing more vicious than the fullback position.
Oof.
Those guys were getting stingers, Steiny, didn't even know they were having them. So how can you not shine a light or just have a special wing? You can go back and fix it, have all those guys in. What's taking so long? That's what I guess I'm saying. And luckily for Lowe, he still looks like he could block, but I'm saying that is a lot of wear and tear, man.
Look at last year, James Devlin with the New England Patriots. How many holes did he blow open in that AFC Championship game against the Kansas City Chiefs? O'Neal was a factor. Fullback should be in the Hall of Fame. It's a position on the field. If we're going to put in punters and kickers, you got to put in fullbacks.
Let's go to Ron. Ron's in NorCal. What's up, man?
Hey, forget the fullback talk, man. I'm fired up on a football Friday, fellas.
Let's go, Ron.
I'm fired up too.
They're down 2-0. I'm going to be doing more than rubbing my belly. I'm going to be doing a little shimmy shake and strutting around with my chest pumped out.
Let's go, Ron. I like that.
Yeah. It's about time, man. We finally got something to root for. They're coming together. Shanahan and Lynch are looking like they finally put things together. I'm feeling good, man. I was down in the bay this morning working, wearing my 49er gear. I got a bunch of people complimenting me and stuff, and it was just high fives. And it's a good time.
Wow. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it.
They got to win, Ron. But Ron is
That's what I like.
And they got to win.
I like
Ron,
that.
But Ron is ready.
I don't know that anybody called in the show in the last 2 years about the 49ers and was that optimistic and enthusiastic.
I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
Oh, by the way, I mentioned this going into the break about Kyle Shanahan, and we've talked a lot about where's Dante Pettis and the receiving core. Shanahan basically said he made a mistake in week one in that area. Let's take a listen.
I think he learned what the NFL's like. You know, I think that was our fault for playing him too much. That's what I was talking about earlier. We should have had Dante in for more and taken those reps down a little bit. But that's the standard in this league and how hard you have to go and how every play matters. I think he learned that. There's some good learning examples in that game. He did some good things for us, but he also played it like a rookie at times too. And to be able to do that and still get away with the win, where you can be hard on him for certain things, I think it was a good learning moment for him.
Still not sure exactly what went down, but according to Kyle Shanahan, he said he should have played Pettis more. Said it again just right there, saying that's what I meant. He basically said he played Deebo Samuel too much, but it also sounds like he wanted him to play that much so he knows what basically playing a full game feels like.
I'm not a big fan of the...
It sounds to me like Pettis is going to play more on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know where you come off, Monte. I love, you know, honesty, but I don't need to... I don't like when a coach... You know, like he said, Pettis, he didn't know why he wasn't...
Right. You don't need to explain yourself.
That's what I guess
I'm
saying.
You didn't play Pettis because you didn't believe in Pettis. Yeah. That's what Kyle Shanahan... He doesn't want to say that. He wants to uplift Pettis and try to get his confidence up. But how do you say, oh, man, I lost track of that. He should have played more. You call every play. Like, you call every formation. What do you mean by that? I'm not following Kyle Shanahan there. By the way, Jason Verrett, healthy, will make his 49ers debut Sunday against Cincinnati. And Shanahan's fellas said that he's hoping to get Coleman, Trent Taylor, and Hurd back after the bye week. So he wants to go back.
For week four.
Yeah.
For the Cleveland game. Well, it would be week five,
yep,
I guess.
Week five, yeah. Because
they have the bye week four.
Yep.
Okay. Minkah Fitzpatrick. Dolphins defensive back.
Good defensive back.
Once out. Should the Niners kick the tires? Although Verrett's coming back.
Okay.
Where are you on
I'm still lying from Harbaugh. You're trying to build a bully.
No, that's not Harbaugh.
I thought that was Harbaugh.
That's Hugh Jackson.
Oh, Hugh. Shout out
to
Hugh.
We're building a bully.
Okay. Shout out Hugh. But this is not the Baltimore Ravens or the 85 Bears yet. And you two told me Antonio Brown, OBJ, proven commodities, superstars. But because of the circus they brought, you guys were not in. Now, Miami is dysfunction, is sad, is shameful. They may go 0-16. My question to you two is, you never have enough talent. Why wouldn't you just pick up the phone? We don't know if it's not happened, but why wouldn't you want or envision Fitzpatrick in a Niner uniform?
Well,
damn it.
Let's take a listen to Adam Kaplan. He was on with a morning show, and he addressed this specifically.
It's a guy you'd rather have in your offseason where you could get him into your defense and figure it out. It's just not easy to make trades like this. There's a belief around the league they'll want at least a first-round pick because this guy was a first-round pick, and he's a terrific player.
Now you want him? Now you want him, Goo?
Don't forget, Niners don't have a second-round pick next season.
Well, wow. This could be – just make it happen, Bonte. I don't want – you know what I mean? Just
you want first-round pick?
Going to give up your first-round pick from next year.
So now you're not going to have a first and a second. You won't be picking until the third round.
But I'm getting arguably a Pro Bowl corner who's young and can be penciled in at that position for the next 5 to 6 years. I'll take one in the hand, two in the bush – because that's what your draft picks are. You don't know what they're going to be. You know what? I'm Fitzpatrick, you're a Niner if it's Darrell Lynch.
So the 49ers
finish
8-8. They have the 14th pick. You're giving that up for Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yep.
All right.
What do you think, Bonte?
I'm out.
Steep price.
I'm out.
That's a steep price.
I'm out.
Would they accept the player? Would they accept the – now, look, we're talking about Dante Pettis. I don't know how much value he has on the market. But could you package a deal? I don't know. C.J. Beathard or Mullins? Everybody's high on Mullins. And Shanahan loves C.J. Beathard. Could you trade him Mullins to a team that already has Josh Rosen and Fitzpatrick? I don't know. I don't see it there. Niners, they're rebuilding brick by brick. Not having a first or second round pick, that's tough.
Carlos. Carlos is in Whittier. What's going on, Carlos? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to call and I wanted to let you guys know that I'm happy that Monte came over to your show, and now you know it went from a good show to a great show now.
Thank you.
So
sweet.
I just wanted to talk about the Raiders and the 49ers. What would be bigger accomplishment than going 2-0?
Yeah.
I think the Raiders will definitely be better because they're both in the deep division wins, and nobody's talking about that. That's just my opinion, guys. Your comments off the air.
Thanks, Carlos. Appreciate it. You know what? I'm just saying the 49ers. And it doesn't mean that if the Raiders were to do that, it's not impressive. Of course it's impressive because they will have beaten two divisional opponents. But I think for the 49ers, they didn't win a road game last year.
Not one.
To think they were going to start 2-0 on the road. I mean, to me, they would both be
Impressive, right?
Very impressive. Yeah. Very, very impressive.
I'm trying to remember, what did both of you have them going when we played the schedule game coming into this season?
The
did
Niners?
You think
Who?
These two, the Niners, like, were these two, did you I have think... them as W's? Because I had them 1-1.
Oh,
and I didn't know
with
where
these two games?
Yeah, my bad. Yeah, with the first
Yeah,
two.
I said 1-1.
1-1. Yeah, I figured 1-1.
So two
but
and
I was worried about 1-1.
Well, you know what else? I don't know if we ever made official predictions.
Oh, yeah.
But I do know that, I mean, I think I've pretty much been saying 8-8. Something like that.
I think I was 12
maybe 7-9.
You're 12-4
for the Niners?
Niners?
Yeah. I think it was.
And the Raiders are making the AFC title
right.
game.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. I don't think the Raiders. I don't think the Raiders are going to win as many games as the Niners, but I think they're going to be very close.
I'll tell you what about them, Silver and Black. You beat Kansas City, who is not Cincinnati, and you're 2-0. Then watch out, Jack. And I'm just wondering.
Last Raiders home game until November 3rd.
You guys have beat me over the head about. What did you say? Addition by subtraction? Is a rallying cry for the Silver and Black going to be what Brown did to the whole team? And if they beat Kansas City somehow Sunday at 1, man.
Yeah, now that's a team that may be.
He's done.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying.
He's done.
They use them as a rallying cry.
Yeah.
The team.
Yeah, he's for
gone.
Week one. For week one.
Oh, you're thinking, they, oh, okay.
He's out the window now.
I don't want to mention that guy's name anymore.
A.B.
And you know what? They don't need to use him as motivation.
Well, there's video out there.
Of what?
Of his accuser and him.
I don't care.
I'm over Antonio Brown. I got Antonio Brown fatigue. By the way, the Raiders, we're talking about Minkah Fitzpatrick. Maybe that's a team that looks at Minkah Fitzpatrick.
They just lost. You're
to
right.
Pair him with Jonathan Abrams next season if you're trying to build for the future. That could be scary there. But I don't know what the Niners could give up for or what the Miami Dolphins will want from the 49ers to give up a Minkah Fitzpatrick.
And they're so dysfunctional, the Dolphins, they might give you some – they might do a bad deal, Steiny.
Or maybe you do something like, we'll take Fitzpatrick, we'll give you a number one, yeah. And you give us your second-round pick next year, something like that. I'm out, though. I'm out.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Rich. Rich has a prediction. Rich feeling good. What's up, Rich?
Hey, man, you know, I'm always feeling good. What's up, Bonte? What's up, Guru? It's time to meet you, my guy. What's up, guys?
What's up, Rich?
Hey, man, look. Shame on all y'all, 1-1. It's going to be 2-0. They're going to take out the Bengals. And guess what? They're going to enthrall Dante Pettis, and Pettis is going to show you why he is the number one guy for receiver. And by the way, shout out to Guru. At least he's been on my show. What can the other two of you say?
Hey.
I'm out.
Wow. I feel better. I did make it.
Hey, Rich.
Nice studio.
Come up with your appearance fee money, and we'll talk.
For sure.
Wow.
Got to know, what's the perks? Is there free waters,
no,
free
he had,
food?
Wings.
Wings? Yeah. Does he bring wings?
Yeah, he had a boatload.
Does he have TVs?
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, on the other side, I will give the Raider fans a great, great sign.
Oh.
For Sunday's game. There's something they got really going for them. I'm going to tell you that. But first, let's go to Steven. And he's going to tell us what's going on 95.7.
Thanks, Donnie. What's coming up on the game is sponsored by Nutrisystem for Men. The 49ers are getting ready for the Bengals in Cincinnati while the Raiders stay home to face the Chiefs on Sunday. Some practice updates as the Raiders have officially put rookie safety Jonathan Abram on the IR while 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa is back on the field today after being a non-participant in practice all week. Don't get excited, Guru. Kyle Shanahan just announced cornerback Jason Verrett will make his 49ers debut. How should Kyle Shanahan handle the snap counts in Cincinnati? Bonte Steiny and Guru will ask former 49er and 95.7 The Game football insider Ian Williams at 12 o'clock. Remember, you can take Bonte Steiny and Guru on the go. Download the Radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game. See how simple losing weight can be with Nutrisystem. The meals come to your door, you eat the food, and lose the weight. Order at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details. Coming up, Steiny gets Raider fans excited. I'm Stephen Langford on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, coming up in a half hour, Ian Williams, former San Francisco 49er. And at 1 o'clock, Warriors President and Chief Operating Officer Rick Welts. The Chase Center is open. It's had concerts this week. It's got concerts this weekend. We're going to get a check-in from Rick to talk about how the opening has gone And also, of course, we'll talk some Golden State Warriors basketball. But it is a Football Friday brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play it smart. Play it Oaks. I'm going to tell you why the Raiders have something good going for them on for their game this weekend against the Chiefs. But first, if you guys are fans of the show, and more specifically, fans of Daryl the Guru Johnson, there's a manifesto about the guy that appeared in BarrettSportsMedia.com. So Guru had a big takeout story written on him. BarrettSportsMedia.com if you want to check it out. And the title of the article is Daryl Johnson Became Guru and Guru Became a Star.
Hey,
it took me about 5 hours to read it. I mean, it took me all morning. It's like, damn, Barrett.
Jay Ferris 5,000 words. Jay Ferris wrote the
Jay
piece.
Jay Ferris.
Yeah, he did a great job. But I knew you guys were going to kill me. When I saw the title, I was like, oh, I'm in for it.
There's a lot of stuff that I wouldn't mind getting into. But
my pop said it was too long.
Yeah, it was. I mean, honest to God, I don't know if Michael Jordan's ever gotten an article written that long.
Stardy, have you ever wrote a feature that long?
No.
I mean.
Oh, no.
I was looking
absolutely
at the workout.
Not.
I had to copy and paste the workout. Like, damn, 10,000 words?
I mean, and God love.
Kind of a big deal. I think I had thesis projects in college that
long.
The guy
just asked me some questions, and I answered
and
them.
And you know what?
God, I put both of you in there, but some stuff got left out. He said he couldn't fit
actually,
in. Some people's names got left out, and my phone's blowing up.
You left out Bonte for people okay. that have influenced.
No, it's okay.
You.
I didn't take a
person.
Oh.
Part of the show.
You got a picture with Bonte.
Bonte helped me.
But you said Dibley, and I think you
I
said
didn't take
me.
It personal.
You
know, B, I didn't take it personal.
You
I didn't take
are
it personal.
My black brethren.
I didn't take it personal.
Bonte was mentioned in a whole other section, and he said, hey, you know, Brandon Tierney, you know, he's messing with me. Like
nobody knows who he is.
They used to do them
but nobody he's out of sight, out of mind.
It's good to know where you stand on the pecking order.
Yeah,
and I saw some guys who used to work here at a pecking order like, wow. Okay.
And we had our pitcher, Bonte, Snani, and Guru. He said 10 to 2. But when I saw Star, I was like, oh, no, I'm in for it.
I mean, Guru does have a sense of the dramatic.
Right.
Here's one of Guru's quotes.
man.
Guru, before he went on to Lucky Break where he got his, he said he wasn't, Guru's apparently feeling a little nervous. He wasn't going to do it. And his brother, 32-year firefighter, played sports at Murray State.
Oh, man.
Guru said, my brother looked me in the eye, and he asked me, are you really going to let your dreams die?
How went down.
And the next thing you know, guru was born.
Oh, man.
Nah, congratulations.
Stop.
Unbelievable.
Stop,
unbelievable.
B, I did mention you had your own wing of things.
No.
I know you, but
no, seriously, congratulations. Yeah. It's a hell of a story.
It is a story.
And you know what, for youngsters who are dreaming of doing big things, whether it's this field or another field, it's really important to never give up on your dreams, and you're a testament to that.
And I appreciate that, but let's not forget you, Shasky, because you go speak to the aspiring writers at San Francisco State. So that goes unnoticed, but I see you give back a lot. And again, I didn't call the guy to do the feature. Jason Barrett reached out to me and...
Liar! But you keep in touch with the publisher of that magazine.
You're the text. You're on the text.
Oh, my God.
Nah, good job, Guru. Thanks. We love you here, you know that.
That's like, is that tier one stuff? Tier one material?
I'm different.
Talk I don't about know if tier four.
I don't know if it's tier one since it's a site that
tier three
isn't
now?
Exactly overpopulated with clicks,
man.
But it's an ascension of some kind. Absolutely. No, congrats, Guru. And once again, BarrettSportsMedia.com if you want to check out the article on our very own Daryl the Guru Johnson. Let's go to City Boy. City Boy real quick on Roger Craig before I touch on the Raiders real quick and then get back to the Niners and then get back to the Warriors. What's up, City Boy?
Hey, what's up? Happy Friday, y'all.
Same to you, man.
Listen, hey, congrats, Guru, by the way, man. You deserve it, man.
Thank you.
Listen, I just wanted to touch real quick on Roger Craig because as a longtime Niner fan, you know, I think what hurt Roger the most trying to get into the Hall of Fame was that fumble against the Giants when the Niners were going for a three-peat. And I think, you know, a lot of Niners fans even turned their back on him for a long time, including myself, you know.
Really?
I just wanted to, you know, And I, because, you know, I was 16 at the time.
Right.
I'll tell you what, that was a gut punch. You know, you're going for a three-peat, kind of like the Warriors were this year.
Oof.
And, you know, like for the Warriors to lose it the way they did due to injury, let's not forget Joe Montana left that game.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Young is the one handing the ball to Roger Craig at that moment. And it's funny, if you go back and look on YouTube at the video, it wasn't a real good exchange from Steve. And, you know, I don't want to go too far blaming Steve, but let's just say when you switch to a left-handed quarterback mid-game in a high-pressure situation, it can affect the handoff. And you know, I didn't play football, but I would imagine that could have a big effect. And, you know, Roger took a lot of stuff for that for a lot of years. It's 30 years later, and I'm finally over it. And I'll tell you what, I'd love to see Roger go in. You know, that Super Bowl against the Dolphins was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Against Marino. And you know, Roger, we love you. Niner fans have forgiven you, and I just hope he gets his just due because, you know, the player he was deserves to be in the Hall, but that fumble was for his career and his legacy. So, hey, fellas, love the show, man, and you know, enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, City Boy. Appreciate it.
He's over that game.
Finally. I borrow from Bonte because he has credentials to the league pass. It costs too much for me. So, as a colleague and friend, he'll send me his password. And
that makes me a little uncomfortable when people have asked me to do that.
What am I going to do? It ain't your credit card.
Well,
he knows.
But the worst part is, Steiny, he's asked me for this password like 8 times. So sometimes it's like, why don't you just scroll up the thread and find the password right there?
I had to get a replacement.
It's just unbelievable.
But if he's logged
Monte,
on,
help
can
me.
You log on with the same one?
It does say, like, hey, too many people logged on. So I wonder.
Other people have it.
I wonder.
I'm not always in. I'm not one of those. I get out.
It's like letting a guy into the building who you don't know.
Well, I got the Sunday NFL Sunday ticket. So for friends that don't have and don't want to pay it, I give them my credentials, and they can watch the games on the go.
What's funny is my athletic password, every time I go on that website, Steiny, every article is red. And I'm thinking, who the hell is reading my art? Like, what's going on here? You know what I mean? Like, you can set out a password, but you never know what could happen.
I say that to say is, you can watch all the football games for forever. I'm going to go watch that work. I didn't know
or
people
YouTube.
Were mad at Roger Craig.
Or YouTube.
That much on fumble. Steiny?
Roger Craig got into it with Brent Jones, because apparently Brent Jones missed a block there on LT. Steve Young. Everybody got blamed for that. But City Boy said he's over it. I haven't quite got over Matt Barr kicking that game-winning field goal at Candlestick. You can watch that game on YouTube.
That would have been another Super Bowl.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know because the Bills are pretty good.
Yeah. Let's go to Orlando and San Bruno. Let's talk 49ers Sunday. Sunday. What's up, Orlando?
Call real quickly. The Raiders, that was a good victory, but they got lucky that they played against left-foot quarterback. And this week, they're going to be playing against Mr. No-Look Passer. Speaking of that, I'm calling it right now. If Mr. Mahomes tries to do that no look, it's going to be a pick six for the Raiders. And as for the 49ers, they better win. They got two Super Bowls because of the Bengals.
Yeah, they do. Thanks, Orlando. Appreciate it. I don't know what the two Super Bowls, how that gives the 49ers an edge Sunday, but onto the Raiders real quick. They got some things going for them. One is this game Sunday against Kansas City. Going to be the first time since Patrick Mahomes' first game as a starter that he's going to be playing without Tyreek Hill. And Mahomes is banged up. He's got a little ankle issue.
Yeah. And they say it happened early in the game against Jacksonville, and he did like Bosa, manned up and stayed in there.
Yep.
Derek Carr he made some good decisions week one. I think the Raiders' defense is going to have their hand full with Mahomes, but the game is going to be won if Carr can be his version of Mahomes. He's going to have to throw that thing this week.
Well, also his left tackle, Patrick Mahomes. Nobody likes to talk about the offensive line, but we were talking about the Bengals being down to their third-string left tackle. Eric Fisher, the Chiefs' former number one draft pick, messed his groin up today in practice. He couldn't finish practice, so we don't know if he's going to play on Sunday. And the Chiefs, let's be honest. Last week, who's that dude? Minshew for Jacksonville, quarterback for Washington State. He lit them up last week. So I think the Raiders will be able to move the ball like they did last season against Kansas City and Oakland. Don't forget that game was 40-33 midway through the fourth quarter. I think the Raiders are a live dog here. I would be shocked if they pulled off the upset.
And let me just tell you, while I have an extra mimosa, The Niners at 10, Raiders at 1. They don't intertwine. That's thank you. Can we get that every Sunday? I don't think we do.
Thank you, God.
So you're going to have an extra mimosa.
For the fact that I don't have
to. So the first one's going to be at 10?
Cheers.
I need a mimosa.
No, it'll be at 8:30. I do it for the pregame. I have my own pregame. We start a little early.
Okay. All right. Nick Bosa, 49ers rookie defensive end. He's considered questionable for Sunday's game. He was limited today in practice, so we got to find out what's going on with him. And also, the one thing I do want to clarify from City Boy, he said he didn't say I'm over it. He said he's finally forgiven. Roger Craig, he's still not over it.
City Boy. My apologies.
Let's go to James in Palo Alto. James wants to talk Niners, Raiders. What's up, James?
Yeah, thanks, guys, for taking the call.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, which do you think is a greater accomplishment to start the season? If the Raiders were to beat KC, certainly one of the top three teams in the league, or the Niners being 2-0 with two wins in the Eastern time zone, traveling. And for me, I think that that is a much bigger win. It hasn't happened since like 1982 that the 49ers have won two consecutive games in the Eastern time zone. So I think that's a greater burden. And if they were to accomplish it, it would be a much bigger accomplishment and reflect a much stronger team.
Thanks, James. Yeah, thanks, James. Appreciate the call. The more I think about it, the more I think, look, if the Raiders start out 2-0 and want to, and look, it doesn't matter if the Broncos aren't as good as we thought, because they're still in the AFC West. And if the Raiders open up with wins against the Broncos and the Chiefs, that's a hell of a start. I would just say the 49ers is a hair better or a little bit better, because to get two road wins, I just think is better than getting two home wins. Just essentially on balance, but I think they would both be something that each team would build a lot of momentum off of and maybe carry them into the middle portion of the season, to tell you the truth.
The fact that the Chiefs are the Chiefs and outside of New England and AFC, Bonte, it's Kansas City's world and we're just living in it. If the Raiders get this one at home, not that it matters, both to be 2-0, euphoria in the Bay, I got to lean towards the Raiders, Stani, and that beating the Chiefs, they're better than both these teams that the Niners are facing. If they do come home 2-0, that would be a big shock and send shockwaves throughout the league. Like, the Raiders got something going on here. We don't know what it's going to manifest in, but 2-0, and you beat the second, arguably the second best team in the AFC. Man, Stoddy, that carries a lot of weight.
No doubt.
It does. And the Chiefs can be had. I don't think their defense is all that hot again. Just like last season. You could score some points on them. And Josh Jacobs, this is a big Josh Jacobs game. Keep the ball away from Kansas City. I think John Gruden, when you saw it last week, Steiny and Goo against Denver, he's going to run that rock. And if you run that rock and keep that offense off the football field, that may help you when you don't have a Jonathan Abram playing at safety who's going to be out for the year.
That's a shame, man.
Kansas City may be had this week. I don't know.
The 209 says two division wins would be more crucial for the Raiders, I believe. That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally fair. I mean,
And as prisoner of the moment, because they have in week six, then we can say, well, how many division games did you have? So right now they got that going, you know, their way. But as we move forward, it'll all equal out. You know what I'm saying? No?
Not really. I don't.
Well, we're being prisoner of the moment when we say the Raiders have played two division games. Yeah, through 2 weeks, that's a fact.
Well, that's all we can go on.
Yeah, but that's
what I said. Well, actually, we can only really go
on
1 week.
As we get down the road further, and if they're both 5-0, then the Niners will have, you know what I mean?
Who cares?
If they're both 2-0, the Bay's going to be on fire.
I think they're equally impressive when you think about the expectations for both teams. One on the road. Niners haven't won two road games in the Eastern time zone. And I know Cincinnati's in the Midwest, but they haven't done that since 2013 with Jim Harbaugh. Both are impressive when you consider where both teams are at and the expectations for both teams.
Hey, by the way, I wanted to just squeeze this in. Sean Livingston has retired. In case you didn't know that, he announced that earlier. Sean Livingston is ending his 15-year career.
Wow.
And, what a class act Sean Livingston is. class act.
Somebody texts, they'll be they'll probably retire his jersey. That's a given.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Please.
I don't know about that one.
You know, I'm just, no,
seventh,
seriously.
Seventh
Warriors
men?
Warriors are a different family, man.
Okay, so seventh men are getting numbers retired now?
You know what? Is what he meant to the org, and the fact that he's a three-time champion, is those were the lenses I was looking through.
I'm gonna be completely honest.
Right.
I think there's very few players I have more respect for than Sean Livingston.
No doubt.
You can't retire his number.
I get you.
You can't retire. But anyway, I want to read this. This is what Bob Myers, he put out this statement. It's very well said. Bob Myers, the president of basketball operations and GM. Sean Livingston's story is one of the most inspirational in the history of professional sports. What he accomplished after suffering so many trials and tribulations early in his career is a true testament to who he is as a person, which has always been characterized by tremendous class, grace, and professionalism. He represents everything that you'd want in a professional athlete, and most importantly, in a human being. We appreciate what he did for our team and our organization over the last 5 years, becoming a three-time NBA champion and key figures in one of the best teams in NBA history. We wish him well as he enters the next phase of his life. So once again, hats off to Sean Livingston. We all had a chance to watch him over the past several years, and just a class act off the floor and a legit contributor on the floor. Well done, Sean Livingston. Let's go to Connor in Pittsburgh. What's up, Connor?
Hey guys, I just wanted to give you guys a shout. First time caller, long time listener.
Sweet.
I just want to give Guru a huge shout out, man. I woke up this morning with the biggest smile on my face seeing that article. Read the whole thing from top to bottom. This guy is seriously the people's champ. He is just unreal, man. I want to give a huge shout out to Guru, man. Love y'all.
I appreciate
y'all.
It,
love
man.
Love y'all, Guru.
Thanks, Connor. Appreciate it. That's got to make you feel good. That's got
to
make your day.
He wants to cry right now.
That's got
to
make your day.
Hit me in the cardiac. If,
yeah. Good for you.
But there's enough trolls out there that, you know, they bring you back down. But, yeah, that was nice of him,
screw
man.
Screw the haters. Yeah. Haters only hate winners, Guru. They only hate winners.
It could be.
By the way,
haters.
RIP to Eddie Money. Two tickets to Paradise.
Damn. What happened?
RIP. He passed. Let's go to...
I know he passed.
Let's go to Scott B. in Oakland. What's up, Scotty B.?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going well, man.
I just wanted to call in and chime in on the Raiders winning two games or the Niners winning two games.
Sure.
I think the Raiders winning two games at home, being that these are some of the last games that we're playing in Oakland, I think it has a little more stick to it. You know, we're cherishing every one of these games in Oakland because, I mean, who knows what happens in Las Vegas.
But, yeah.
Yeah. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that would come down on the Raiders' ledger. Not only is this the last season in Oakland, but their schedule gets tough. The Raiders' schedule's tougher than the 49ers' schedule.
But the Niners' last five is murder's row. What was that? Who was it? Baltimore,
New Orleans, Baltimore.
Okay, that's two.
Packers, Baltimore, New Orleans, the Falcons, excuse me, and then the Rams and the Seahawks. I'm not JD here when it comes to schedules.
I wanted to nail
that. He would nail that right off the bat.
Yeah.
No. I the more I give this thought, the more I'm coming around to Bonte's thinking is that they're both impressive. If you want to say the Raiders winning two at home against division opponents is more impressive than the Niners going on the road and maybe winning two. I get
both shockers, though, if they both go 2-0, right? Shockers.
Yeah, two shockers, but how about this? There's probably more of a burden on the Raiders to improve to 2-0 because this is their last home game until November.
Well, you know what? That is a great point.
That's ridiculous.
That's a great point. You get out of these two games. I mean, because you know, how many games is it? I know it's 6 weeks, but how many games?
Dude.
It's four
November.
Games, I believe.
It's not even October yet.
Four straight games away from the Coliseum.
Oh, but the one home game you're in, was it London?
London.
I'm so over that.
But the point is
Khalil Mack in the
Bonte
black hole.
Makes a great point. The Raiders getting off to a 2-0 start at home when you're not going to be back here for over a month.
Where did they go?
That gives you some wiggle room that you maybe didn't expect to have. So,
well, the Raiders didn't know where they were going to be playing this year, fellas. That's why the NFL said, you're holding up the schedule here. We're trying to figure out where you're going to be playing football games next season. And so, yeah, they go to Minnesota, at Indianapolis, okay. London, Chicago, bye week. Then you go to Green Bay.
Wait a minute.
At Houston. And then finally back home November 30 against the Lions.
They have five straight games away from... I thought it was only four.
Five straight. So at Minnesota.
One.
At Indianapolis.
Two.
Play the Bears in London.
Three.
Bye week. At Green Bay.
Four.
And then at Houston.
So it's 6 weeks. It is six weeks away.
6 weeks.
From the Coliseum.
And a trip to London. So your body clock... Well, I guess you get that bye, but what did they do to the NFL?
The Raiders?
Yeah, that is that. Well, come on, that's.
So you believe in the conspiracy?
Oh no, no, I'm just. They didn't give a damn about them. They wouldn't have done this to the Patriots. They wouldn't have done this to you know, somebody they held in high.
Oh, and then they end the season with two straight road games down in L.A. and then at Denver.
Wow.
Yeah, Raiders cold blooded, man.
Raiders have a tough schedule.
Enjoy week by week.
Actually, like, yeah. I should say, the more I start to think about it, the more I think the Raiders almost have to get off to a 2-0 start.
Right.
Because you got to figure the next five games are going to be very difficult.
Ooh, and you just lose your difficult. Corner who
Think
was
about
balling.
Those road games, man. Those are some at Minnesota, at Indy, at Green Bay, at Houston, and in London and Chicago. That's that's brutal. What's more brutal? That stretch of the Niners stretch in the season.
Well, you threw Atlanta in the Niners stretch where I was like, they don't scare me anymore.
Believer in the Falcons?
Yeah, they got a hard game this week against Philly.
All righty. Ian Williams coming up in about 5 minutes. Ian Williams. We're also going to have Rick Welts, President and Chief Operating Officer for the Golden State Warriors. The Chase Center opened earlier this week. We're going to check in with Rick, find out how everything went. Also going to probably ask him a little bit about Sean Livingston. Sean Livingston has retired. And his 15-year career is over, and what a career it was. It's a career that many people thought would never be a career after he suffered a horrific injury early in his career. So we got all that coming up for you, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Vontae, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, don't forget, 145, last call. And last call is where we let you in on the conversation and get your take on the hottest topic of the day. Throughout September, we're going to be giving away a Google Home Mini. Take Vontae, Steiny, and Guru on the go. Just say, hey, Google. Play 95.7 The Game on your Android or Google Home device. And it is a Football Friday brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play it smart. Play it Oaks. And it is time to head to the Dial Pad guest line where we have our very own Ian Williams, former San Francisco 49er. Ian, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Fellas, man, what's good? I'm just enjoying my Friday.
Yeah, we are too. We're having some fun. Obviously looking forward to this weekend's games. I want to start with your initial thoughts on San Francisco going to Cincinnati this weekend, their chances, and what do you think the key or some of the keys may be?
Well, they're definitely going to have to, you know, handle Geno Atkins up front offensively because he's a game wrecker. The first two plays of the game last week in Seattle, first play, he just does his job. He's in his gap. They can't make any movement, get any movement off him. And the second play, he just wrecks shot, throws the center on the ground, forces Russell to scramble out the pocket, throw the ball out of bounds. He's the main goal on defense. If we stop him and control him, and then vice versa on the other side. So Joe Mixon, he had a ankle injury. He left in the third quarter last week of the game when they were playing Seattle. But he practiced today. So usually when guys at least practice at a limited capacity, just like Nick Bosa did today, it looks like they're going to play on Sunday. He only had, I think, six or seven touches before he got out, but he's a focal point of that offense since A.J. Green is out. But a guy who had a breakout game out of nowhere, John Ross, last week had two touchdowns, 160 yards, maybe because he was playing in his hometown. You know, he went to Washington, so you know, maybe that was why he had that extra juice, but he had a game. Andy Dalton had record numbers, and they should have beat the Seattle Seahawks. They had three fumbles, which kind of nullified everything. They lost by 1 point, but Seattle was playing behind the whole game. So it's going to be a tough game both sides, but I feel like if they can control that offense, I feel like our defense can come out with the same mindset and intensity of how they finished the game last week against Tampa Bay in that third and fourth quarter. I feel like we can definitely dominate that offense and really shut down John Ross. You know, they have Tyler Eifert and Tyler Boyd out there too. But I feel like they're just a different team without A.J. Green, because he kind of, you know, he's that X factor where, you know, things break down or someone's not open, he can just throw it up and make something happen. But defensively, Geno Atkins, and offensively, shut down those receiving threats.
Ian, we were throwing around what 2-0 would mean to the Niners, and I don't want to dismiss Cincinnati. It's going to be a tough test, but you've been in the locker rooms. You've gotten ready for games. You know what it's like. If somehow the Niners go 2-0 and you come home, are they feeling themselves a bit more? Does the 2-0, do you prepare like you were 1-1, or do they know, hey, we got something good going? Does it add to the preparation of getting ready for the Steelers at home?
I mean, at the same time, you want to be humble, but you want to be excited about what you got, what they're doing in the locker room. You know what I'm saying? They've been beat up for the past few years, and now they have some momentum. So why not enjoy it? You know, kind of get that swagger back. You know, I feel like the season was perfectly set up for them to possibly go on the road these first two games, win them, and then start the season off at home 2-0, possibly going 3-0. And then having a Monday night game right after that, having a bye week, and then a Monday night game. So, you know, this could be an interesting time for the team to really gain that confidence, which they've lost in these past couple of years. And I feel like they're getting that swagger back, man. That fourth quarter last week looked really good, and I feel like this team is really getting that swagger, and that's what they need to carry into the season. They need to get that mentality, that mindset back.
Ian Williams here on 95.7 The Game. Ian, Andy Dalton, as you mentioned, the Bengals up in Seattle. Should have won that game. Andy Dalton dropped back 56 times, threw 51 times, was sacked 5 times. How do you think D4 to Nick Bosa and Buckner, they're watching that film knowing that, hey, they're going to have a third-string left tackle out there. Bosa, Ford, and Buckner.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.